Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, one of the three Tuesday morning hosts. And boy, am I excited to be inviting back a perennial favorite around this time of the year. I think most of our regular listeners will know him. It's Rich Del Carlo, birder. Hi, Rich.
Good morning, Julie.
Nice to see you again.
Yeah, you as well.
Yeah, good deal. Well, you're coming on about this time of the year, as you do every year, to tell us about a very special event that's going to be happening.
That would be the Sandpoint Christmas Bird Count.
That's right. And it's been going on and on and on and on. Give us
this
a bit
will
of
be
history.
The 125th year.
Wow.
So it started basically 1900.
That's some kind of centennial, cinque something, I suppose.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Cool. Well, you know, it started out in the 1800s, late 1800s. It was called the Christmas Bird Shoot. So people would just go out and shoot as many birds as possible, and the one with the biggest bounty won.
Big sack of dead and birds,
exactly,
they got to win.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's hundreds of birds. So
sad.
And people started realizing that was probably not a very sustainable thing.
As birds were disappearing.
Exactly.
They are again now, but for different reasons, of course. So that changed. There was a conservation ethic that came along, and people started to convince
that was
others.
Basically the start of the Audubon Society.
Ah.
And this count is basically run by the Audubon Society. It's the longest running citizen science project, I think, in the world.
I can believe it. And for how long have you been running ours here in Sandpoint?
I think it's probably been at least, 20 years maybe.
I know it's at least 12.
I took it over from Earl Chapin. I don't know. I mean, longtime people will remember Earl. And he and his wife Bev were passionate about birds. But and then that's how I started on the bird count with him, and then he just passed it on to me.
Yeah, well, well, tell us some of the details, Rich. When is it? What's going to happen on that day?
So it'll be December 14th. That's a Sunday, and we are meeting at Connie's restaurant at 7. And I would appreciate if people are interested to please contact me. My phone number's 208-290-1405. Text is perfect. Email, you need email, you think?
Or? Sure, if people would like that.
It's rich34923@gmail.com.
Okay, so you can either call Rich or email him, but you'd like to have a bit of a head count.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because what we do is the circle is a 7.5 mile radius, basically, so 15-mile diameter, that with the center of the circle being Sandpoint.
Okay, that's a lot of area.
It is, and it's broken up into four sections. And I generally have a pretty good birder in each section, and then people are just assigned to a group. Sometimes it's just friends going out or whatever, but I mean we're all friends, right? So, and then we go out for the day, and we are counting and listening and, seeing birds. And also if people don't want to go out and they are within the count circle, they could actually if they have feeders, they can count birds from their feeder.
And try to identify what they're seeing and all that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and if they have feeders, they're probably somewhat proficient in the local, which is the birds in their yard.
So, sure, yeah. Yes. So at Connie's, there will be a little breakfast of people who want that. Yes, and then you'll separate into four groups, get in cars, and go to your areas.
Right, and then we'll be done probably, it's the days are still getting short, so we'll probably be done 3:30, 4 o'clock, and then we'll just meet back at Connie's. That's always a fun time. Have a beer, just talk about what we saw, and there's always something interesting or unique. Even if we don't see something super rare, there's still lots of really fun stuff that people see.
Yeah, cool things happen when you go outside for the day and wander around and drive and walk and keep your eyes open.
Right, and you just you know, we will be in and out of vehicles. There might be some walking. So encourage people just to, you know, dress for the weather. It's, you never know.
Yeah.
We never know what it's going
to
be.
Right. And plan to do a little walking.
A little walking. Yep. Bring yourself some coffee and snacks or whatever. And
yeah. Good. Well, what if you're a person who really doesn't feel like they know birds? Should you still consider coming?
Definitely. Yeah. Because everybody is so friendly and willing to help people out. And it's just a matter, it's just, you know, it's not only the count, but it's also a really nice social situation as well.
Right. It's an opportunity to meet people that enjoy birds that you might, who knows, you might someday go out birding with.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. And for those that are beginners, because I was more of a beginner years and years ago when I first started attending, you can really learn a lot about identifying birds by either song or their habitat or, you know, their actual appearance.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's really fun.
And, you know, I mean, usually every group will have a scope. So, you know, even just seeing a mallard or a robin through the scope, if you haven't seen those birds up close like that, it's fun. It's great.
It is fun. And should folks bring their own, for example, binoculars, anything like that, bird books?
Yeah, I would say bring binoculars if you have them. A lot of people, you know, bird books for sure, but a lot of people use Merlin now. Even people that are just casual birders have Merlin on their phone. So
right. And for listeners that are beginning birders, what is Merlin?
Merlin is an app. It's a free app that is managed, generated by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, which also does eBird. And it's primarily a way to help identify birds. So you would be able to load what's called a pack for this area. And then, you know, when you're out, you can, and you hear something you don't know, it can pick up the song, especially if it's a common bird. And you can actually kind of key in some features to help identify it. So yeah, it's great.
Can be really helpful. I have a funny little story about Merlin because it's pretty good at identifying what is a bird and what isn't. You know, like you would think maybe it would hear something, whatever, close and ID it incorrectly. And I know sometimes that happens, but my story is that I thought I was a pretty good loon call. I could do a pretty good loon call. And I thought I'm going to see if Merlin can identify this. And Rich, it came back as human attempting bird song.
No way.
Yes, yeah. They can tell. No, it's pretty funny.
Well, actually, I have another story kind of similar to that. I was talking to somebody this morning, and she said that she had been up at Pine Street Woods and had her phone on, and then when she got home, she forgot to turn the recording off, and her phone call apparently is a loon call.
Oh.
And so it picked up you know, common loon on Merlin. And, you know, that's actually a pretty good point because it's not something that you can rely 100% on. It's an aid. And so, like, you know, because sometimes it's not able to pick up some subtle differences. And, you know, I've had it say some weird things. So
I've had it misidentify birds, too. But yeah, it is a good
tool. For the most part, it's excellent. And then, you know, it has photos and and then, it's kind of associated with eBird, which is also run by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and it is a really very friendly, user-friendly app that allows you to list birds. You know, you can make a list anywhere you go in the world, basically.
Yeah, get your life list organized on
right.
eBird.
Yeah.
Rich, Audubon compiles this info, and you'll be able to access it later, right? After the bird count?
Yes. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can get access it online. There used to be a charge for the Christmas bird count. I think it was $5, but you actually got a publication that was, I think it was called American Birds or something like that. So that was fun to be able to see, you know, how many birds were seen in different places, but you can still get that information online now.
Sure. Well, the good news is all that information, but the kind of sad news is that the bird populations are struggling in some areas, right? They're on a downward trend.
Yeah. With 125 years of data and increasing more and more because more people are doing it, there are lots of trends and, tracking of birds moving and even some in decline.
Right. I heard a really interesting little national radio piece about the trackers they can put on hummingbirds, but even as tiny creatures as monarch butterflies. Mm. Everything's getting tracked.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
And even if they don't have an actual tracking device, they're able to, through radar, track bird movements and migration. And so they're at a point now where they can actually predict when a big plush of birds is moving through a city and potentially get some of those lights dimmed because that's a problem in cities where birds are attracted to the light or get disoriented because of the mass of lights that we have at night.
Because they're migrating often at night, right?
Exactly.
Yes. That's what's so interesting. We don't see all the many, many, many birds that are flying past while
right.
we're asleep.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just like in the spring, you wake up one morning and then there's a hummingbird at your feeder that wasn't there yesterday.
Yeah, that came in over the night.
Exactly.
On the back of a Canadian goose.
Right.
Right. Well, all right, let's just repeat the date and the location again for the bird count, and then we're going to talk about a few more topics.
Okay. December 14th. That's a Sunday. Meet at Connie's at 7 a.m. Phone number 208-290-1405.
And your email again.
rich34923@gmail.com. And that's all together.
Okay, that sounds great. So, all right, now moving on to just a few of the general birding topics for this time of the year. We think about things like birds that are, many birds have left, but some birds are coming to us in the winter.
They are. In fact, this is kind of fun, and you'll appreciate this. Yesterday, and even the day before, but yesterday for sure, there was a snowy owl at Pine Street Woods.
Whoa, that's exciting. And they don't live here most of the
they
time.
They do not. And it's probably a juvenile. And I've heard that it's mostly the when they have a really good year of nesting, then the young get pushed out and come south. So it could be indicative. I haven't heard of other reports yet of snowy owls this year, but it could be indicative of like an eruption where birds are moving from the northern part to, a little further south of the border.
Right. And for listeners who haven't heard this word before, it's not an eruption. It's not like a volcano. It's an eruption
with an I, right.
Which is a bunch of birds coming into the area for some reason.
Well, mostly for food.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure what a factor of super cold Arctic temperatures have on that, but I imagine it plays into it. I mean, there was just a polar vortex that kind of went through Minnesota, I think, last week.
Yep, cold
so
weather.
So that actually can move birds around as well.
Sure. Well, owls are a fun and occasional winter visitor, but there's some other species that we can count on pretty much every winter.
For sure. Hopefully, Bohemian waxwings will show up. Sometimes pine grosbeaks. There's lots of ducks that, that aren't here in the summer. They come through in the spring, and then they come back through in the fall and winter. So there's lots of ducks on the lake, grebes.
And it seems like some of those ducks just stay, too, but those wouldn't be the migrating ones, I suppose.
Well, the ducks that we have here that kind of breed here in some numbers would be mallards. And there's maybe a few pairs of widgeon that nest around, but basically the main waterfowl production, is in the prairies, the prairie potholes, those regions.
Right. So they're coming through. They're passing through.
Yep.
All right. That's cool. And so grosbeaks would be fun to see. And then some of the tiny little songbirds seem to be passing through, but maybe not staying, like the red poles.
Yeah. And red poles, they haven't been around for, boy, I don't know, 5 years or more. So hopefully there's some that show up this year.
Right. A scarcity of those guys. Yeah.
And they really like to feed on birch seeds. And they'll come to feeders too. But so they move around with flocks of pine siskins. And there's a lot of berries this year, a lot of mountain ash berries, which the Bohemian waxwings really like. Right now, there's a lot of robins that's still around.
There are, and they are in flocks. There's tons of robins.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And then just the standard winter birds that we see them in the summer. We also see them in the winter, but they're a little more noticeable, I think, in the winter because everybody else is gone.
Everybody else is gone, and they're just focusing on food sources. So if you have a feeder, that's where the birds are going to be.
Sure.
Chickadees, you know, chestnut-backed and black-capped chickadees. I heard an interesting fact about black-capped chickadees is that they actually can change their brain as the season gets colder to remember where they've stashed sunflower seeds.
Wish I could change my brain to remember where I stashed my crackers. Or my beer, maybe.
Right, and your sunglasses and your reading glasses.
Oh, right. Oh, so true. There's so many things I wish I could change my brain to remember.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, and then also, you know, they adapt to more colder temperatures. So, yeah, those little birds that can survive in below zero is pretty incredible.
When you think about how tiny they are and the tiny amount of heat in their body that they're able to stay warm enough to survive, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, they kind of go into a little bit of torpor overnight.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, that's a long winter for those little guys.
Yeah.
Well, all right. And then we have our usual beloved birds, our eagles and some hawks are around.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we've seen pygmy owls on the bird count.
Pygmy owls, right? They're in the winter, they're a little more diurnal, which means they're a little more active during the day.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a number of years. I had a pygmy owl take a mourning dove off of my bird feeder, and it was a pretty hard winter, and so I never went out. And every day that owl came back for like 4 days and worked on that mourning dove.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
No waste.
They're tough little birds.
Yeah, they're strong.
No waste is right.
Yeah, that's a cool story to have seen that, especially around your house. Well, we mentioned that feeding birds is a nice way to see the birds in the winter, and I think you've told me before that an easy seed is just your black sunflower seed.
It is.
Yeah, that's an easy one to get started with.
And then also, you know, suet.
Oh, yes.
The woodpeckers and even the chickadees and nuthatches will pick on suet, but the woodpeckers... flickers, pileated, hairy, downy woodpeckers, really, really love that stuff.
For sure. Let's talk about water in the winter. What is your opinion about water?
Water is fantastic. And if you're able to keep water from freezing and actually have it be able to move, it would attract a lot of birds.
And they really appreciate it.
They do. Yeah. And it's, makes it a little easier on them.
Yes. Makes me think of the water ouzel, which is around all year, right?
It is around all year.
They have another name, though, too.
American Dipper.
Yeah, there we go. And they're cool little guys.
Yeah, and if people aren't familiar with them, just about any kind of medium size or bigger stream, Grouse Creek, for example, Lightning Creek, it's a little bird that, it's actually a songbird. It has a beautiful song. And they actually dive in the water and, pick, nymphs and larvae off of the rocks.
Under the water.
Under the water.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I've seen
them.
And then
if you've seen them, they actually bob their tail on the, so they're just, they're not super colorful. They're just gray, basically. But they're pretty cool.
They are pretty cool. And another bird that comes to mind that doesn't really act like a songbird, but is one, is a bird we usually see on the counts.
I know where you're going with that one.
Okay,
Northern Shrike, which is, another word for it is the butcher bird, because it, even though it's a songbird, it actually eats other birds. It can catch a chickadee, and then since it doesn't have talons, it finds a hawthorn thorn or a barbed wire fence and kind of sticks it on there so it can
do it
kind of like a little fondue dish or something.
Yeah, eat it and save it.
Right.
Ooh, I know. And we have seen them numerous times.
Yeah,
fun.
They nest in the boreal forest up in Canada and Alaska, and then they come south in the winter. There's another shrike called the loggerhead shrike that actually nests in like Washington and I think Montana. Is pretty rare here, and that bird actually flies south in the winter.
So if we see one on the bird count, it'll likely
be a northern.
Okay. Well, all right. So we know a little bit about what to be thinking about if we're going to feed birds in the winter. And let's just take a minute and talk about habitat for them.
That's actually pretty critical. So if you have any, any piles of brush that were thinking about burning, that's a great place for birds to hang out and for safety and stay warm. And especially like the quail, they love to get underneath those piles. Just understory brush is good. Any place where they can go for shelter and even food, like juncos and song sparrows, they come to the feeders a little bit, but most of the time they're on the ground, just kind of scratching around. So, if there's places for them to, where maybe the snow isn't as deep and they can get around, that's helpful.
Yeah. And a person could throw a little bird seed down in there too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then of course, berries, mountain ash, crab apples or apples that didn't get picked on the tree. Sometimes you'll see birds eating those.
Yeah, that's always a possibility because birds will eat different foods at different times of the year.
That's right. Some birds. Yeah.
Yes, which is so interesting. Like our robin that's eating the worms when they come in the spring goes to apples and all kinds of fruits and that kind of thing, which
and a lot
cool.
of, and then the reason why a lot of the birds, like the warblers and vireos that we have here in the summer, the reason why they leave is because they're mostly insect eaters and there's just not flying insects or insects on leaves or whatever this time of year.
Yeah, they got to get out of here. They're not going to find anything. All right. And so I think we had another area we wanted to talk about. And what is it? Oh, here it is, Rich. Where, if a person wanted to become a more avid birder, for example, like you, where are you going to start searching for interesting birds?
Just about anywhere in the county, but especially in the early fall, August, September, City Beach is amazing. There can be terns moving through, even right on the beach itself. There can be shorebirds, plovers. Drift Yard is really good. This time of year, if you can get out and walk onto the flats, about the Drift Yard there, there's lots of ducks out there. Denton Slough is really good. And then just, even if you just walk Mickinac Trail, there's always birds up there or, just always something to see.
Right. Just about, around here in Sandpoint and the surroundings, there is a lot of habitat where birds can be hanging out. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
And you know, edges kind of next to fields. And then I would encourage people to keep an eye out for a snowy owl.
Boy, that's exciting.
So they would be, you know, they're not going to be in a tree. They would be, I mean, because they live on the tundra, so there's no trees. So they would come down. They might perch on a fence post or a rock, or even sometimes on the ground. But they are hunting, they'd be hunting mice, voles.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I would have been looking up for an owl, but now that you
say
it.
Well, if it was a great gray owl, then, you know, you would, or a great horn, but these owls that, you know, that live on the tundra where there's no trees, they're way more comfortable on the ground.
Yeah, it's what they're used to mm-hmm. doing. That's cool. Rich, you've been birding forever, and you've been birding in a lot of places that are not just America. So we'll maybe come back to that in a moment, but do you have a favorite group of birds that you like to look out for? Is there a group?
Oh, boy. No, because it depends on where I'm at and the time of year, because, you know, I just enjoy seeing all birds. Of course, you know, when I'm in the tropics, it's always fun to see toucans or the many species of toucans. I really like raptors. So, but yeah, you know, and then when the warblers come back, I love seeing the warblers. I don't think I actually have a...
Not a favorite.
Can say, you know, that I have a favorite.
Not a favorite category.
It just depends on the time of year and where I'm at.
Sure. Now, I know last winter you spent considerable amount of time in Costa Rica. And are you planning to do that again this year?
I am.
How neat.
And actually, we just got back from a month ago. We got back from Colombia.
Nice. And I bet you added some birds to your...
Yeah, 160 lifers.
Whoa, that's pretty amazing.
They have 120 species of hummingbirds in Colombia.
I was just going to go there because we've talked about your visits to Costa Rica and the many, many hummingbirds there. But that's incredible.
It's incredible.
Say that number again.
120 species.
Oh, man.
It's a very, very diverse country. And it's, you know, it has obviously had a pretty bad reputation. It's not the 80s there anymore. It's a beautiful country. The food is awesome. And I just love the people.
Oh, so, good. So yeah. You feel pretty comfortable.
Well, I was with a couple that were Colombian on a kind of a guided group. So yeah, I'm not sure how comfortable I'd feel trying to figure it out, but
it was a great experience.
That's a good way to get into it too, is to go out with people that know the area and can show you the birds, because it doesn't matter where you are. If you're not familiar with the habitat that they live in, and there's lots of different options, it's really hard to figure it out, especially if you just get fleeting looks, you know.
Right, hard to figure out. Well, as we learn when we go on the bird count, it helps to have one expert in the car.
Definitely.
Really helps a lot. Yeah. Will they come here and you'll take them birding?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Well, Rich, why don't you go ahead and mention one more time what's going on and the date of the Christmas bird count?
Yep. Christmas bird count will be December 14th. Meet Connie's at 7 a.m. Get a hold of me if you're interested. Rich Del Carlo, 208-290-1405. Email rich34923@gmail.com. And yeah, so I guess that's it for now, huh, Julie?
Yeah, that's about it. And let's see. I always feel like I've got one or more questions after we get done. And so I'm just racking my brain to see if I can think of anything other. Well, here's a question that I've got for you. You're probably a birder that's got a little bit of everything, but since it is a Christmas bird count and we're talking about Christmassy things, do you have ideas for kind of cool gifts for birders?
Oh, if you're
going to give one thing or two things to someone who enjoys birding that maybe they wouldn't have or maybe should have if they're a beginning birder? I know. I sprung that one on you, but I was thinking about it. Yeah.
Well, I would say, you know, if you had a, if they didn't have a feeder, you know, get them a feeder. And if you have some, if you have some skills, you can make one pretty easy. They don't have to, you know, you don't have to spend a ton of money, but, and they can just, you know, it, and it is nice to have a cover. Keeps the seeds a little, keeps them a little drier.
Oh, right. And then if you're really, truly a beginning birder and you just want to know what are the basics, what's the basic equipment that I would want to have before I jump in the car and start looking?
Well, I would say a pair of binoculars. I would say a very observant attitude. You would want to, you know, you just want to be just kind of be aware. That's kind of the cool thing about birding is that it just kind of opens up this other level of senses for you.
Yes. Yep, it does. We start listening and looking and looking around, and
right.
pretty soon we're birders and we didn't even know we could be.
Right. And then you're, you know, your spouse is telling you to keep your eyes on the road.
There you go. That happens with fishing people too. Well, Rich, we're going to say goodbye to you in a second, but we've got another guest in the studio and I want to introduce you to each other because you have something in common beyond pickleball. That wasn't going to be the thing. You both love beautiful sounds and beautiful events around Christmas and songs, whether they're bird songs or musical songs or people songs. Rich, you're finishing telling us about the Audubon Christmas Bird Count. And now in the studio, we have Becky Rands. And Becky, you are the coordinator. I'm not sure what your title is, but you manage and organize a very big Christmas concert, and you're here to tell us more about it.
Yes,
welcome.
I am. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for your kind invitation.
I know.
And yes, my husband John and I help with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints doing kind of community events, involvement, service, blood drives, food drives, and different things like that to kind of bring our community together in many ways. And a couple of years ago, we decided that we'd really like to do something along the line of Christmas that would bring our community together in a really sweet way and have it more along, you know, the maybe, quote, the true meaning of Christmas and celebrating the birth of Jesus and how important that is at this time of the year and throughout the year, but also in kind of this busy, crazy, chaotic time, finding peace and joy and community in a beautiful way to celebrate Christmas through music.
I know, and you're very passionate about this because we've talked about it before. Why don't you tell us a little bit the details, who's going to be singing, who's invited?
Okay. All right, so the concert is going to be Sunday, December 14th. It'll be at 6:30 p.m. at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints right across the way from the fairgrounds. And okay. we've had it here for the last couple of years. This is actually our fourth concert. And we're, I feel, kind of blessed enough to maybe have a place to gather that we can have.
Bye, Rich.
Just under, just under 1,000 people come. We've had the last concerts around 700 to 750 people, especially last year. And that was just like so joyful to see so many people gathered and kind of linking arms to celebrate. So that's where it will be. All are welcome, families, your neighbors, your grandma, and folks that you love to celebrate Christmas with. It's really just a special time to have all so many good talent and local artists gather together in, under one roof. And at the end, it's we don't really have an intermission. It's it's been about an hour and a half, which is kind of a full program, but also full of an excellent variety of talent and music and voices and harps and violins and pianists and vocalists that are really remarkably talented. And that's young and a bit older. So we
right.
have
right. You said kids.
Yeah, we have little kids.
Children's choir.
We have a little. We call it the Angels Choir. They're just kids that are like 4 to 10 that are going to be coming with their candles and their white angel robes and little halos. They'll kind of set the tone, which is the theme of our concert this year, which is Angels We Have Heard on High. So it'll be filled with some angelic music and those that are some tunes that are very familiar and some that aren't, but that's where we'll be gathering and that's the date.
I love it. Tell us about the singers. You've got them.
Okay. So We are really blessed to have Kendra and Megan Walker. Well, it's Kendra Stevenson, Megan Walker, they're sisters. And you may have heard of them in the past from their family that lived here, the Walkers, and they had a family band called the Redhead Express.
Okay, I have heard of them.
Yeah, so they were born and raised here. They kind of scattered to do their different variety of talents and starting their own families. But Megan and Kendra will be singing for us two beautiful songs, I Wonder As I Wander and A Christmas Lullaby. We have Paige Dance and her friend Amaya Van Hill, who are just excellent 14-year-olds that are incredibly gifted and have won many awards through their violin music. We have Max Reed, who is also from here, born and raised here, went to high school here. He's also an excellent pianist. He's now in college and continued on with his incredible talent. We have J.R. Haney, who is a great dentist here as well. Well, he's actually more of a in-depth dentist. oral surgeon, yes. I'm so sorry. And he has a bell choir with 12 people that play this amazing bells, and they'll be doing Carol of the Bells and Ding Dong Maryland High. So there's definitely a high spirit as well as those that are sort of melodic and beautiful. We have David Brewster, who's an incredible masterful pianist, and he is actually from Spokane, and he's going to be playing a beautiful medley. He is incredibly talented. He is also our accompanist at the Chorale Coeur d'Alene in Coeur d'Alene, where I sing at. It's a 130-member choir, and we also have Rachel Jordan, who is a vocalist from that choir as well. Incredibly talented voice, beautiful, amazing, talented singer. And then we have also John Brownell, the high school choir teacher, and he will be coming to direct his chamber choir of 30 members, teenagers. That's going to be really fun. They've worked really hard on their piece. We have an amazing young man, Tyson, who will be playing the piano and also accompanying his dad in a beautiful rendition of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We have an amazing mom, son, daughter, and father group, and they are the Crosbys, Claire and Dave Crosby. They're incredibly talented. Claire started singing when she was like 3 years old, and now is 12 and just so talented. She's sung all over the country and has recently been in the Gap Choir for the Gap in wow. New York City, and she's kind of a internet in sensationalist. She has 3 million followers at least, and many, many people who follow her ever since she was just a little girl, and is incredibly talented. They live in Spokane, and we just have just an array of beautiful music, both strings, voice, children's choirs, and teenagers that are gifted and are excited and passionate and polished and love to perform.
Well, Becky, this is an amazing group of singers, and there's so many. In an hour and a half, they're going to have to move it along, aren't they?
We try to move it on along with a good clip, with a little narration between each. But
nice.
I really feel that it is so worthwhile to attend, and I don't think that anyone will be disappointed. I think it's just a little bit of, you know, a special Christmas spirit for everyone that comes, no matter what you're looking for.
Oh, it sounds amazing. And no RSVP, just come if you
RSVP.
Can.
No RSVP. It's free. Okay. All are welcome. We'll have a little Christmas mingle and homemade cookies and punch for everyone afterwards, to kind of just bring that spirit together, meet one another, kind of link arms with those in our community that maybe you haven't met before, which I think is one of the sweetest pieces. That last year, in our previous concerts, people have come and listened and enjoyed and then stayed afterwards for kind of like, oh, get to know you. And I just think that's been one of the sweetest pieces.
Well, what a nice way to have folks get together and meet people that they might not meet at other times throughout the year in a kind and loving and musical, beautiful musical way over Christmas. I am so excited that you have done this. You must have been a busy person to get that many artists.
Well, we kind of start in the summer by going to the Saturday markets and listening to the local musicians that perform there. And I've approached many people about it, and I kind of just listen for kind of that beautiful sound that we're looking for, and also kind of really in that enjoyment of performing and, you know, getting that voice from the chapel all the way to into the the gym where we open up the doors and it goes all the way back. So people that are strong in their voice and their passion for singing or playing or, just their craft.
And with that joyful spirit, you've got great artists and it'll just be something.
Yeah.
Well, I am so excited that you had the time to come in and tell our listeners about this upcoming concert. And I'll ask you to give us the details again, and then I'll let you go to continue organizing.
Okay. All right. Okay. The name of the concert that we've decided this year is Angels We Have Heard on High. And it will be at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, December 14th at 6:30 p.m. And that is the church directly across the street from the fairgrounds. All are welcome. We just want everyone to come and enjoy this beautiful music that so many have worked so hard to prepare and to be polished and to present to our community. It'll be fun to link arms with one another as we sit in this concert. It's free. All can attend. And we just hope everyone will gather to kind of bring in this Christmas spirit together as a community that loves music and loves that opportunity to learn and to meet others in our community.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing, because you've made it sound like really the event of the season, and I'll have to get that on my calendar right now.
Okay. I hope it is the event of the season. I hope all will come and see how much work has gone into preparing this for all of us to enjoy.
Very good. Well, Becky Ranz, thank you for joining us here at KRFY, and good luck with the concert, and I hope the turnout's better than ever.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet with you, Julie. Thank you for your kind invite.
Of course. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.